Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like grape banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
In front of company, Christine.
Sorry, Mike has a huge dick. Yeah, it's like part of the thing. Are we rolling? Are we rolling? I'll keep that in. Duh. Guys, congratulations on killing yourselves. Welcome to the Voices in Our Heads. I'm your host, Christina Marie Hutchinson, and I'm here at the top. We are going to have Jordan back in for a part two where we answer your questions for advice and talk about a couple more things. But first, it was Mikey Big Dick Dong Coscarelli's birthday on August 30th. And I got him a little present that I want him to open on camera so that it's a write-off.
Yes, this is for tax purposes.
Yes.
We're in the same fight here, Christina.
Yeah.
The fight against not giving the government our money.
You don't get a goddamn penny from me. You will, and I'll be sad about it, but whatever.
Same.
Little as possible.
There's enough tax money coming from Christina and I to, you know.
Fix all the potholes, you would think.
To pay for education in this country.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's not where it's going to go, but
no.
We'll see.
No, probably not. Probably going to go into nukes.
I just want to say before I open this, thank you so much for getting me this. I don't even know what it is yet, but I'm excited. I mean, the thought, it means so much.
I love when it's somebody's birthday.
I can see it in
your face.
I love
celebrating it. It's just great. You're great. You should celebrate it.
I appreciate that. All right, let's see what we got here. It's a couple things.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay. Open the things first and then the card last.
Look at this.
You're like my mom.
It's in a box. It kind of looks like it was wrapped.
Yeah, I didn't do that part. Winter months are upon us. I'm going to get you.
It's a mug. I'm not old. I'm classic.
Hey.
You're buying me dad stuff, even though I'm not a dad.
Yeah, well, I love you this. Got dad energy.
Yeah, I sure fucking do. Oh, shit. All right, this is going to stay right on this desk.
Yes,
Tim,
and it's
please.
Got a top that secures, and it can keep your beverage hot.
Excellent.
Cute.
Okay, let's see what else we got. I'm wondering if there's a theme here.
Yeah. It's you old.
It's an old man thing?
No, it's not. There's not. That was the only you old. This is a different theme. That's like a great color on
New
you.
New Jersey. Only the strong survive.
Jersey. My favorite people
I love
from Jersey.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, Christina,
it's a good hood.
So
it's like a good hoodie, you know what
it really
I'm saying?
Is, yeah.
It's
I'm going to keep this here, too, because it gets cold in here with
yes,
the air conditioning.
Yes, it does. I might borrow it.
I might wear that right now. And there's a card.
There you want is me to a open present in the card.
Oh, there's a present in the card? So you want me to open the card on camera?
Yes. But like, look how great my bubble letters is.
Excellent.
I like really took my time with it. And I'm like, God damn, she can animate.
Multi-talent. This is great.
I love a good pen. You give me a good pen, I'll become Picasso.
I love it.
Right, ballpoint. Ugh.
Oh boy. Another birthday. Don't think of it as getting older. Think of it as becoming a valuable collector's item.
Hey, you old as hell.
And it's Woody.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, Toy Story is one of my favorite movies.
And I got you what's on that card, but it's not coming until October.
A few words. Oh! Do you want me to say it?
Yeah.
Coming to me October 22nd, A Few Words in Defense of Our Country, the biography of Randy Newman.
Weird title, but like whatever. He's a prominent musical journalist.
A Few Words in Defense of Our Country is one of Randy Newman's great songs.
Oh, you would know that.
I forget what the album's called. You're a Newman guy too, Tim, aren't you?
You like Randy Newman?
I don't know the albums, but I do like Randy Newman.
Yeah,
Randy Newman's pretty cool.
Excellent song.
Also, very dark songs.
Yeah.
He has like the bleed, like Same
dark
Girl. I play
and
on
funny.
Piano.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, that's about losing someone to heroin.
This is so much.
Yay, I mean, love you. Thank you for
everything
you do.
Thank you.
And I just want to celebrate you.
You're the best. I appreciate it.
I'm so excited for your future as this big podcast mogul. and now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, let's bring on the guests.
Get out of here.
Enough
the bit's over. It's already a write-off. I am so pleased. Love you. I am so pleased to bring back onto the show Jordan Planet of Planet Buzzard, of Blizzard Planet, of Blizzard's Blictionary, of all of the things.
And I'm just
going to
fix Jordan's mic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then there's two things before we get into the advice.
Please.
What?
The sage.
The what?
The sage.
Oh, the sage?
That I gave you.
Oh, yeah. Where is it? Wait, you want me to put it on camera?
I was joking.
Oh.
But also,
oh yeah, because it's a write off.
Yeah.
I got you. I'm like, why?
Slow,
wait, is there
slow,
like a, something
slow.
In it? Is there drugs in it? Should I smoke it? Two concepts that I want to talk to you about before we get into the advice. A lot of people on Instagram a couple weeks ago, I was like, hey, I'm about to record the voices in our heads. Do you need advice on anything? But I asked it like an hour before I had to record. And then people asked me questions much later, because time. And so we'll get to those because some of them are really good. And I'm like, ooh, I would be very curious to hear what you would say as advice giving. But one of the things that you do that I'm like, oh, I love how you handle this is you started when you were in Bali, you do two camera Instagram videos, like you film them in app, which the algorithm loves. And yeah. I'm trying to suck the algorithm's dick in all the ways that I guess it doesn't want its dick sucked. So it hasn't rewarded me yet, but it will one day. So your stuff started getting your videos. You would talk about self-friendship and all these concepts that we've talked about it, to camera and your Instagram. Mm-hmm. But you had your titties out because you got huge knockers. And so you're like, oh my God, my Instagram following is blowing up. You're up to like 11K or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a lot of dudes here.
Yeah.
And they're just like, shut up and show me the titties. And the way you've handled those, you respond to everybody.
Everybody.
And the way you turn it around,
I know you're here.
You're able to neutralize a fuckboy in the most brilliant, beautiful, smooth way I've ever seen executed. Again, me. We all need people in our lives who handle things better than us so we can go, oh, wow, that's how I would handle it. But at the same time, when I watch somebody like you handle something in a way that I admire, I also think of how I would have handled it. And I would have been like, oh, you want it? You fucking rape it. Like I would have just crumbled. Please explain to me how, like, you just started getting all these dudes and I would read the comments and I'm like, damn, these are comments that would set me the fuck off. And it's only ego. It would set off my ego, not actually me. But I love the way you handle it. So please explain to me your philosophy on handling guys that are just like, show me those big titties, put them in my mouth, like just vulgar foul things.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you.
For your titties?
Because.
Thank you.
I will say, so first of all, I live by the beach.
Yeah.
I'm in a bikini most of the time.
Yeah, it's Bali, baby.
I'm not going to change what I'm wearing or like I just wear what I wear when I wear it. Like,
yeah,
I'm wearing this like, you know.
This is what you want to wear.
It's just what I want to wear.
Yeah.
Period. I happen to have huge boobs.
Yeah.
Fact. One of the videos, I actually did not know the way they were perspective
jiggling?
Dancing.
That's a rocky ass beach, girl.
I did not.
It's like Jurassic Park when the puddle, the water in the puddle, the footprint goes.
On the back end, on my end, the bottom of the screen is shaded. So I actually did not know.
Yeah.
But also,
who cares?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying valuable shit.
Titties make everybody's day better.
And if that's the audience I'm attracting, cool.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Again, would have crumbled. It would be like, oh, people want is my tits.
I had only been posting on Instagram for Planet Butter for like less than a year at that point, maybe 7 months.
Yeah.
And I had like 500 and nothing followers. Yeah. And literally in 2.5 weeks, I rocketed to 11K.
Yeah.
And yes, it's 98% men. And in the beginning, it was the boob video for sure. And sure. I understand I'm an attractive young woman, but I also understand the value that I'm providing and they know it too. And that's why they stuck around.
Yeah.
Like there are plenty of boobs on the internet.
There's
plenty of boobs on the internet.
So many, too many boobs. Really.
And you're choosing mine. No, I'm just kidding. It's, it's the way I've handled it is honestly, I just think those type, like guys get ignored for that kind of stuff. And I don't see like, early stage growth, I am genuinely self-friendship. I am just grounded in myself. It's a fucking fact. I have big boobs. I can acknowledge it. I neutralize it. I make a joke. We all laugh.
Yeah. Because
they're being silly. Like the men don't mean anything by it.
Right, right, right,
like,
right.
Like they don't mean anything by it. It's not personal.
Yeah.
To the point.
There's
there are
so many
plenty
boobs.
Of tits on the internet.
So many tits.
Comment on mine. Okay. And then I'll flip it. Like, can we pull up one of the?
Yeah, I pulled up your Instagram. I'm like, I want to go to the one
because it's better.
Like,
I wouldn't mind seeing this.
Okay,
I'll take my shirt off for you after.
Okay, wow. I was gonna say, all right, Mike,
just
never mind.
See, you just that's the thing. You kind of gotta. You just
let me
play
see.
A little bit.
Let me get
he,
one.
He
with
didn't
the
mean it.
No, certainly
not. Mike is truly one of the most stand-up men I've met.
Exactly. And most of these guys are stand-up men.
Yeah.
So
you don't judge fuck boys, which I'm like, that's great. Because,
there's nothing to judge. They're being silly. Even if they're serious, they're being silly. They don't mean anything by it. It's the fucking internet. Like, they're not saying anything. And what I do is just neutralize it, make a joke, and move forward. I have a post here. I could pull up.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
The one, because I made a post of screenshotting some of my responses people. Okay. Some of the funniest ones.
Is it recent?
I'll scroll because I'll find it quicker just because I know my page.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have my phone if I could steal yours.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, because I'm not doing myself justice.
Yeah, I remember
right
when you telling me about it. I'm like, oh shit, you're blowing up on Instagram. That's amazing.
Because it started
there. And then you're like,
there.
Dude, these comments are so funny. And I went and looked. I'm like,
they're hilarious.
The things you're saying back to these dudes is great.
Well, because the first thing I did was I was like, here.
And it's not an us against them approach to it, which is where I fuck up.
Right,
in terms
no.
Of like,
because I don't believe
you
in
that. You can fucking intimidate me. Shut up, Christina.
But the way I've handled it has allowed for a really loyal following who actually support me and my work and the value that I provide. They also acknowledge that I'm an attractive woman, but so what?
Yeah, okay. Like, okay, next. That's not...
Like, so what?
Yeah, like, truly.
Like, especially when I'm... Yes, it's coming out through my person. Like, what I'm saying is coming out through my personality and you can physically see me, but I'm leading with my brain.
Yeah.
And that stays true. Like, so that's why it's like sometimes I'm in a t-shirt, sometimes I'm in my bikini, sometimes I'm in a turtleneck. Like,
and it's all for me.
And because it's just like it doesn't matter. But
well, that's
the first video I did, I say, it's time to give some men. Yeah. Can you, I don't know if this means it.
I just hold it up to the mic.
Thank you. And most of you are men between the ages of 30 and 55. I think that's fucking awesome because I do not show my body off on this app at all, which means you're here for my personality and my brain and theoretically my concept of Planet Butter and self-friendship. So thank you for being here and you're not as bad as they say.
So I want to show you. So that was when the first round started picking up. But then what I did was I took screenshots of
what they say in your
response. So one guy goes, oh, the cleavage is a perfect 10. And I go, thank you. Make sure you rate Self-Friendship Podcast and my book on Amazon, Party of One, Self-Friendship in Action. Then the next one goes, holy boobies, Batman. I said, I really wish you didn't reveal that I'm Batman. Not appreciated. And he laughs. I laugh. A lot of them go, oh, you just earned a follower. Because like I'm saying something funny and I'm not taking them seriously. Yeah. I'm getting upset. Like,
yeah.
He goes, nothing about bombs in those links. I said, Planet Butter volcanoes. He goes, I have a volcano for you. Ha ha. I said, honestly, that's hilarious. Keep your volcano and I'll raise you a truce. He said, keep doing you, girl. Don't let anyone stop you. And then he goes, I prefer the labia to the boobs. I go, what about the library?
Jesus Christ.
Who says that?
That is a really
the
weird
labia?
One. That's gnarly. You can get fuckboy theater just off of that comment.
Yeah, totally.
What'd you say back to that?
What about the library?
Oh! Suck it with a book.
He goes, I like Princeton Public Library. So I said, sounds fun. Think they'd want my coffee table book with a lesson?
Oh, that's great.
And then the last one, this guy goes, dollars to donuts. I'm pretty sure I know what you're not insecure about. And I'll bet the family dairy farm on it. So I said, if your bet is on self-friendship, you'd win. If it's on anything else, the family farm is mine now.
There you go.
It's just,
you're coming at it with this approach of like, I'm not against you. And I feel like that's how people get, like, we all have more
it's
in common
combative.
Than we do not in common.
Right.
But the second anybody goes in gloves up, if one person goes in gloves up and the other person responds gloves up, gloves ain't coming down. But if you come in gloves up and the other person goes, that's okay, baby. You're okay? Y'all good? What's going on? And makes a little quip, a little joke. Then it's like, no gloves. The gloves
and
got thrown in
the trash.
It's
also something that's coming to me is like, because between the DMs and the comments, I'm just like, I take the, just, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I take the compliments that are compliments. Anything that's like over the line, it's called boundaries. I delete it if it's like really inappropriate, especially now. When it first started picking up, I was like, I'll play.
Yeah.
Because I can handle it. It's not a big deal. Yeah. And like, it is play. Like, it's funny. And I'm enjoying myself responding because I do find it funny. And with time, more people come in, more people show their intelligence. I encourage the men. I'll say thank you. And then I'll encourage them to actually participate in what it is I'm saying. And now that it's been a few months, like most of the comments are genuinely just supportive or intellectual.
Yeah.
And Yeah, of course I do still get comments on my level of attraction that they might have. And I'll flip it. Like, one time I made a video, I'm like, what'd I say? Like, what I love about the word sexy is that when you're saying something sexy, it's often used as though we're projecting somebody else being or doing something that is sexy, but actually we're taking ownership for what we are sexually aroused by.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's, so I've parlayed it into being about self-friendship as I do. And they eat it up.
Right. Right.
Because
they're like, wait, she doesn't hate me? She's not going to tell me to go fuck off?
And I'm grounding it in, like, I come from love. I receive the compliment.
Yeah.
I know you're not actually doing anything. If I get asked out or do whatever, I'm like, I do what I do anywhere in public all the time. It doesn't. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, use your fucking words.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, it doesn't need to be like, meh. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And just like it does require a degree, like a strong degree of confidence, but it's like, and humor, but it's like, by being humorous about it, by being playful, by not taking it personally, but also recognizing that, yes, it's a compliment, and but not making, like, so, sometimes I'll just diffuse it. Like, you'll be like, oh, you're so hot. I'll be like, yeah, the humidity in Bali is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it doesn't need to be a thing.
Right.
And I always make it about self-friendship and Planet Butter, bottom line and top line. It doesn't fucking matter. It's always about Planet Butter, no matter what I say back to anybody, even when I'm being playful. I drive it back to my brand, my focus, what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're coming to my world.
Yeah.
And commenting on my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make it about what I want to make it. I'm not going to ignore you here.
Right.
Because that's not going to serve me. What serves me? Making this fun for myself.
Yeah.
That's how I approach everything.
That's make a great philosophy. Because, like, you're like, throughout the duration of one's lifetime, you will always encounter people that are going to try to fuck with you, that will try to screw you over. And not to say that is like a gloves up, that is the opposite of what I'm suggesting. But, like, you're never going to, like, get, you're like, oh, okay, I finally learned something about myself and I'm working on myself. So no one's ever going to be a dick to me.
Yeah.
People are going to be dicks to you.
Sure.
But when you have, confidence in your ability to handle whatever the thing is. I'm like, you know, you're not going to know what's going to get thrown at you until it's thrown at you.
Totally.
But like, whatever gets thrown at me, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, world is your oyster, baby.
Totally. And even when I first published the book is around the time that my followers were picking up dramatically, which was just like
perfect
uni
time.
Having my back.
Thank you, universe.
And what I did though is I offered a free one-on-one session for like a few people that, like, I set it to like 100, but that was like crazy. So I was like, so I took meetings, like I gave one-on-one sessions to a few of the guys and all of them are cool ass dudes.
Yeah.
Like they're all cool entrepreneurial guys, all want to support, all about the book.
Yeah.
And then like follow up, still check in. Like it's genuine relationships that they're forming, that we're forming, that they want to reach out. But it's like from such a sincere place, like the amount of times they'll message me and just be like, I'm so proud of what you're doing. Like, I just want to see you succeed. And they'll even be like, I don't mean to be weird when I say that. Like, you are just kicking ass. Like, this is great to see. Like, you're using your brain. I appreciate you using your brain. And you happen to be beautiful. I just want to let you know that without being weird. Most of the comments and DMs are that.
Yeah,
most
nice.
Are not being weirdos. Most aren't. They're just not.
Well, when you have your boundaries up, and this isn't to say, like, you know, women should hold themselves accountable for how men treat them. But however somebody treats you, you decide where to go from there.
100%.
And that's a bottom line. It's not a victim blamey thing. I know, I think about the more extreme examples of people saying in like physically abusive relationships and like that sucks. But you know, I even look at those situations and like, I've certainly been in like emotionally abusive friendships and stuff.
Yeah.
I chose to say,
yeah.
And I'm like, why are they being mean? It's like, well, now change how you handle this. Like change your relationship to this person. Like
totally.
That's just what needs to happen. You don't have to be... You don't even have to beat your feelings about it, which is wild to think about.
It's 100% not taking it personally, period.
Yeah. Yeah, because if they weren't doing it to this friend, they're going to be doing it to another friend. It's not about you. So here's, I got a bunch of questions. And because they're my followers, they are they have depression, but they make it cute. So that seems to be my MO, but I love it. So one person said, I think this is a gal, I don't know what joy is at all. To what do you say that, Jordan?
I don't know joy.
I don't know what joy is at all.
I don't know what joy is at all.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I don't
coming in
know
hot.
What joy is at all.
To me, I immediately go into maybe you're not comfortable feeling joy.
Mm.
You know, because Hendrix talks about the upper limit in terms of happiness. If it was only accepted that everybody in your house will be miserable and that's the way we're all going to work as a family. The second one you get something, don't be too excited about that. And it just gets shot down.
Sure.
You grow up with this idea that I can only experience this much happiness, which is in that case, none. And if it goes above that, I get real uncomfortable and I sabotage it.
Yeah, so that's problem,
to
right?
me, I go, I wonder if maybe you feel joy and you're like, no, you're not allowed in my house.
First thing that comes to mind for me is, how does she define, or he define, joy, right? It's like, I don't know joy at all. It's like, well,
maybe you're just missing it.
Like, what do you define joy as? What do you assume or expect it to feel like or look like in order to meet it? Because also, I think that emotions and emotional experiences are varying. We all have different capacities for different emotions.
Yes.
Which is also part of the upper limit problem. It's just like your own.
Replace that with any feeling.
Yeah. So it's like our own ability to feel something. And it's like nobody's better, nobody's worse. It's just our capacity to feel different emotions. So joy. I don't know joy at all. That's just lying. Like, that's just a lie she's telling herself, period.
Right.
That's just a lie.
Yeah.
Like, you are just lying to yourself because you're choosing to say you don't know something. But actually, like, if we sat down and I asked you, how do you define joy? I would sit silently until you explained something to me that you define joy as. And then I'd be like, I'd pivot the conversation to be like, well, what are some things that you think would bring you that type of feeling that you're describing, that you think would? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe you want it to. Whatever it might be. But there's a way to like peel back those layers on that, because you do, like, for you to say you don't know joy or you haven't experienced joy or what is it? It's you telling me that you have an expectation of what joy is or should be, and you're not internalizing it in a way that. That you're allowing yourself to meet it.
Yeah.
Like that it's the full ownership thing. It's not that you don't fucking know it. Like, how do you define it? What are your expectations of it? And then once you know that, then we can take action to actually change that.
Yep. Love that. Love that. I would love a polite way to tell my boss, who's a woman. This is from a woman. Okay. That does matter. I need them to get the fuck out of my personal space at work.
Hilarious.
My advice. Bitch, stop. No, you can't say that.
To her boss?
Yeah.
Who's a woman?
Yeah.
To get out of my personal space.
Yeah. Hoverer. I'm imagining, I don't know what this girl does for work, but I'm a hoverer. Or some people just like, I know culturally it varies.
Sure.
Like some people, like in some cultures, like it's just straight up rude to be near somebody. American culture is one of them, of like, get the fuck, like in New York, like we're all crammed in like sardines and there's moments where like we're on the subway and it's like, yeah, this sucks, but whatever. Like we're crammed together and that's okay.
Yeah.
But there's also times as a New Yorker when someone gets too close and they don't need to be. And I'm not even talking about a guy creeping, just anybody. Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? The fuck?
Personal space.
Yeah. Oof.
The way, I mean, it's maybe it's the New Yorker in me, but it's like being direct and polite is like my specialty.
Yeah. So it really like, is.
You can advocate for yourself by saying, I don't feel comfortable with the distance. Like, you could literally just
the
call it
literal
what it is.
Distance
like,
between us. The physical
distance between us. Like, I could just use some breathing room.
Yeah.
Like, do you mind moving up back a bit? Just be like, do you mind moving back a bit?
Yeah, that's like, true. That's a good one.
Like, do you mind moving over a little bit? Or I'm actually going to sit over here.
Let's stay there.
Like, yeah. Like, actually, because you can kind of, and that's the thing, is like making it kind of playful.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
Well, not saying stay like a dog, obviously. Yeah. I know you're being like extra silly, but it's like, but you could be playful with the person. Like, I've been in situations where I literally am just like, do you mind moving over a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, and they're just like, oh, yeah, no problem. And it's like, even if it's your boss, it doesn't fucking matter. That's your personal space.
Right.
It's not your paycheck. It's your personal space.
And I feel like some people can get in your personal space and they don't even know they're doing it.
Right.
So it's like, I'm just here to point this out.
Totally, totally. So it's literally just saying, like, do you mind moving over a little bit?
When a relationship is too good to leave but not good enough for marriage.
Huh? Say that again?
When a relationship is too good, oh, someone's calling me. No. When a relationship is too good to leave, but not good enough for marriage. To me, I'm like, you just don't want to be alone.
Too good to leave. Well, what's so good about it?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Too good to leave.
I kind of understand. I grasp that. Like, you don't want a future with this person, but you don't want to be alone, I think is what you're saying. I don't know who's saying this. So that's part of the context.
Right. There's, my issue is context, but, too good. That just
don't accept mediocre.
That with the yeah, just it to me, it just sounds like there's love, but you're not in love. Period.
Yeah.
And what I recently have been discussing is like there's love is easy. It's innate. We all have and want love.
All of us, yeah.
So like innately, like that's what we have. And then I say in love is self-friendship. So that's the work that people talk about with romantic relationships that I believe is self-friendship, which is being in love. Because it's easy to have love for somebody because it's innate within ourselves, which means we can easily have it for other people without being in love, because the work required to be in love requires so many, both people to be in love with themselves to practice self-friendship,
as I say,
because and then there's so many layers of like chemistry, dynamics, friendship, which is again, that's why I say self-friendship, because like if there's not a friendship at the root of your romantic love, then yeah, you will just have love and it won't be enough. Yeah. And if you're not willing to work on yourself, then there is no relationship.
Yeah, there's no, you can't go anywhere.
So if it's too good, what you're saying, I agree. It's like you just are comfortable and you don't want to be alone.
Yeah. Yeah, being alone, I guess it sucks. But like when you feel alone in a relationship, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And also though, then it's like, well, maybe this person needs to question their beliefs on marriage, because that could just be a societal thing of like, do you actually want to be married? Period. Like what does marriage mean to this person that they're saying?
Right.
Like,
everybody's got their own.
If this relationship is so good, but it's not good enough for marriage, well, then it's like, well, what are the implications that you're telling yourself about marriage that requires that this relationship isn't fulfilling if it's that good?
What are the little stories that you've picked up along the way that you've agreed
about
with
marriage,
that you're like, well, this has to be true, that you're like, you didn't interrogate that enough, because it actually doesn't have to be true at
totally,
all.
Totally, totally, totally.
Tips for breaking up with somebody when you live together. I'm so nervous. Ugh, that's an awful position to be in. But I've done it. And it sucks. Have a plan of like going to a friend's house. I don't, you've never lived with a partner before, have you? Okay. So yeah, it's, you gotta have an out. Like if you have a friend in the area, go, hey girl, I'm gonna break up with so-and-so. Can I come over tonight?
Yeah.
And hopefully they're a good friend and they're like, yes, of course.
Right.
But yeah, that's having to deliver bad news that you're like, oh, there are mountains of sadness for both of us behind what I'm about to say on the other side of what I'm about to say. Like delivering bad news. Do you have a philosophy on that?
To deliver bad news.
Yeah, like I'm breaking up with you. That's not great news.
No, yeah.
Even if it's for the best.
For sure, for sure. Well, I think that just comes down to the mutual communication.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. And again, like maybe these questions are hard because I'm such a context person. And that's where the perspective, like my perspective is most valuable where there's the most context.
Totally.
Objective, because I'm like, I like to be objective with information, not objective without information, because then it becomes projections. And I'm hyper literal. But
we can even make up a context for this in terms of like, if you are like this. But like, you know, maybe like the person could be nervous because maybe the person that they're going to break up with is like super into them and like, I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you, while they're like, oh no, I'm about to burst your bubble, bitch.
Totally.
In which case you want to take great care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a way to like nurture it.
Or if something's just faded, people don't take that as like grounds for breaking up, which is unfortunate, because then that's when resentment builds later down the road.
Right. Well, the driving force with anything is taking ownership, period. Yeah. So it's like, if you make it about you.
How you feel.
Period.
No one's going to want to stay with somebody who doesn't want to be with them. Well, that's not true. But like a healthy person who's self-actualized is not going to want to be in that.
Right. And just when communicating with this person, I think it's really just a matter of taking responsibility for ourselves in that dialogue of how you're feeling, how you see your own future, and maybe what it is about the relationship that's not being fulfilling,
right?
For that,
and is it something to work on, or have you
like
used
allow
your discernment?
It to be a conversation, right?
Right, right. And gauge, like, you know, if somebody's not interested in working on themselves, that's a deal breaker for me as a friend. Like,
totally.
I'm like, okay, I can't flex with that.
And then even if then it'll invite more. Even if you have clarity about it, it's just like the conversation is demonstrating respect to the other person. And then as far as like living with the person, it's like, if you're an adult, you know what to do. Like, you know what to do.
No relationship is guaranteed, even if you're married.
Right. It's like. Like you said, call a friend, call family, start putting the feelers out for finding another place.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, whether you need roommates, whether you don't need roommates, whether you can live home, whether you can't live home, whether you couch surf for a bit, get an Airbnb, travel for a second, like
it's
whatever.
It's a fun source of independence.
There's just, it's, and that just plays into like a scarcity mindset or an abundant mindset. It's like,
totally.
don't stress yourself with unnecessary things about living. Like, there's a bajillion homes out there. Like, if you have the money to rent a home or live with somebody or pay a friend or pay an Airbnb or whatever it is, there's a bajillion homes for you.
Truly.
Like, there's always going to be somewhere. So don't focus on that. Focus on the relationship.
Yeah.
And to deliver the bad news, it's just take responsibility for yourself and do so with kindness to the best of your ability.
Yeah, because you can't argue how, if I say this is how I feel, and I'm not blaming you for it, I'm just saying this is how I feel. Right. I can't go, that's not how you feel.
Right. There's no room for discussion as far as like your stance.
Yeah.
There's room for conversation as far as what's their perspective, what's my perspective, but there's not room for like swaying you.
Yeah.
It's clarity and communication.
Yep.
I don't know if that's really
no, I like
helpful.
That.
It's
that's
all
a good,
kind of vague.
Yeah, these are all vague, but yeah, we could put our own like in terms of, you know, I knew somebody who was going through this, who this was the issues that they were toiling with.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Finding a partner in your late 30s, being single has been tough. Being single is always tough. Like but it's also so is being in a relationship. It's both of them are tough. The only time it's not tough is when you're both madly in love in the honeymoon stage. That ain't tough. That's what keeps you going sometimes for too long, longer than you want to be. But like, if you're not actively falling in love with somebody as they're falling in love with you, you're in a tough spot. You know what I mean? And for I don't sure. say tough as that it's a bad thing.
No.
It's just meaning like, there will be things about aspects of it that you're like, eh, that could be better or that could be whatever.
For sure.
So dating is always hard, but being in a relationship is all, meaning it's work, but being in a relationship is also work. So, yeah. And it doesn't have to, they can both be very fun working on these things. Like,
right. It's like choose your heart. That's a common saying. Like choose your heart. Everything, I forget where or who, but choose your heart. Everything's going to be hard in its own way. Yeah. So choose the thing that feels good and fun to you that is also hard. Like in theory, difficult things should be like a healthy challenge.
Yeah.
A healthy, fun challenge, not hard. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know what to do with myself.
You just have to have a good aspect. Like dating, like every time I've been single, I'm like, yes, of course dating is hard, but like I love it. It's so fun because I like how people operate. And
right.
Like, even if the date is god awful and this person cannot hold a fucking conversation, I'm like, how did you get like this?
Yeah, like, it's like I'm the experience curious. Of exposing yourself to just different types of people,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah, everybody's a walking library.
For being, what was her phrase?
Finding a partner in late 30s and being single has been tough. I'm assuming, I can't tell from the screen name, but I'm assuming this is from a woman because a man in their 30s is like, I've never heard a man in their 30s say that.
Also, I mean, I can't help but just with the word finding. Done.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's already game over.
Yeah, you're like try like
you're
remember
trying.
I was like
that's
trying
why it's
is
hard.
Resisting.
That's
which
why
is crazy.
It's hard. You're trying. Yes.
Right.
Trying is resisting.
Yeah. It's trying
and
to
so
control.
It's going to feel difficult because you're trying to control something that's not in your control. You're not focusing on yourself.
Yeah.
You need to be grounded in yourself and attract it. Period. Yeah. Especially if you want to be a feminine energy.
Yeah.
Woman, you could be masculine energy and be a woman, it's an energy. But if to be a feminine energy, it's attracting it. And even if you want to be in the masculine energy, you still don't find it. You don't find it, guys.
Yeah.
You don't find it. You focus on yourself and the right things come to you, whether you're masculine or feminine energy. But especially in the feminine energy, it's a matter of attracting it.
Yeah.
So her first problem is that she's looking. Like, which is, again, it's like everybody says that all the time, like to not look. And it's like, oh, when you least expect it. It's like, it's not even about that either. It's just focus on yourself.
Yeah.
Period. Like give yourself to yourself. Become fucking friends with yourself. And it won't be so hard to be single. Period. You'll be happy with your own company. Everybody else is in addition. And it's the same old shit. Like you guys, this isn't news, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Like maybe you need to hear it again, but.
Here's a good one.
I get impatient with that stuff. It's like,
with what?
With like, it's like finding and being single is this. And it's like, you're not focusing on yourself, period. So
right.
It's like I have nothing to say to you. Focus on yourself. And then we can talk about how it might be difficult.
Yeah.
Because then there's something to talk about. But if you're not doing anything and you're just, I'm finding, I go on 5 days a week. It's like, well, maybe you should do something else with your time.
Yeah, right. You're investing too much time trying.
Yes.
It's not working out. How do I experience confrontation without having a full panic attack every time?
Oh, yeah. I like that. How do I
experience confrontation without having a full panic attack every time? So to me, that says this person has a story in their head about confrontation that it's they were told
exactly.
Probably indirectly because that's how it's strongest that having a problem with somebody, how dare you? How dare you have a problem with how I'm operating or how I'm doing things or whatever? So you, so that automatically, that is the seed of the fear. Sure. Like, it's, the fear has to come somewhere because kids don't care about like, hey, I want that. And they just fucking say it and you're like, damn, dude, you just said it. You totally. Don't give a fuck. Like, mad respect.
I think that's one of those perspective dances where it's confrontation. It's a perspective dance and it's a connotation of confrontations. Connotation has a big negative implication that like sometimes people don't even want to like send their food back in a restaurant, which like I hate doing too. But if it's really, really if not what I ordered bad, and I'm paying for this and that's why I'm in a restaurant.
On your shoulder in a very, a
you
tiny
can
chip
kindly
yeah.
communicate yeah. it. It's okay. That's just like a minor example. But confrontation, we can perspective dance for it to be a positive thing that's also ever present because everything in life is essentially confrontation if we lose the negative connotation of it. Mm. Confrontation is in dialogue with anybody in the sense of like we're constantly being faced with ourselves whether we choose to know it or not. So I suggest choosing to know it.
Yeah.
Because if every single person and every single thing in our life is a mirror, which it is, then we can take a second to take a step back, self-reflect, self-connect. And what is this person showing me? What am I showing myself through this person? What are my judgments of this person? What's my internalization of this experience? And what is that dialogue going on in my head that's making it be an unpleasant or scary experience?
Yeah.
Rather, it can be a positive experience. If all confrontations are positive and all are opportunities to learn about ourselves, then it becomes a fun experience of I'm expanding, I'm learning more about myself, and I'm practicing my communication skills.
Yeah, and also it's so many times in my life, I've been so nervous to approach somebody with a topic of conversation or something I needed to like tell them about how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Especially, and when this person uses the word confrontation, which leads me to believe that maybe the first couple of times you could have said something about it, you didn't. Because you were like, for whatever reason. I mean, I'm queen of that. So like, I would never blame somebody for that. But like, it makes it that by the time you finally say something, you're like, I wish you wouldn't be such a fucking bitch.
Because it's
like,
half resentment.
Right, because now you're so mad.
And half communication.
and then feeling like you can't tell the person. And that's not the other person's fault, by the way. That's your responsibility to feel, you know, to go, well, I feel like I can't tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because that's how, for example, narcissists get control. I watch them get control of a group of people so easily where it's very quickly established in the culture of the office. Let's say, for example, we don't call Jim out when Jim says some wild shit. We just let it slide. Jim's now ego, little child ego, is building and building and building. So that by the time someone comes along and they're like, Jim, what the fuck is this? They're like, how dare you question Jim? And it's just like an explosion. But I think some people like that, they want to intimidate you into not standing up to them.
Totally.
But if all that takes is you going, hey, like this is a little uncomfortable for me, but like I need to share this with you. I feel like I owe it to you. Like I owe it to myself to just be honest about this, even though I'm a little nervous about it. Like that's my trick. I'm like, if I'm nervous to tell someone something, I'm open about that.
And I think that like that alone also just demonstrates the ability to be in touch with yourself about it. Cause it's like the confrontation, the ability to confront somebody else, you kind of need to confront yourself about it first, right?
Totally. Yeah.
And so the fact that you're confronting yourself saying, I'm scared about this. I feel uncomfortable. I'm nervous, whatever it is. And then bringing that to the conversation opens the door for you to feel received. Cause it's like, why do you want to confront them? Cause you want to feel understood, heard, valued, and whatever, and reciprocated, whatever your expectations are to be communicated. And you want to feel respected.
Yeah.
That's what anybody wants from any like direct confrontation between any interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
So for this person to feel sound in it, I think bringing consciousness to the fact that, oh, I need to confront myself about this first. What do I want from this?
Before bring the conversation
bringing it
to the person.
Because that'll dilute it. I wish more people would do that. Yeah. Like, that will dilute the fear because then you have clarity around it. Like, I think the fear of the confrontation might be, oh, I don't know the result of this. But if you're clear on what you want the result to be and you also can manage expectations when you go in so that it's not from the other person, but it's you want to feel received by the other person. If they don't give you that, if they don't give you the sensation of feeling received, you at least gave it to yourself first.
Right.
And you offered the possibility of a mutual conversation to occur so that they can share with you, they can respond to you, they can receive you. But if you don't get that, you already gave it to yourself.
Yeah. And if they freak out, like maybe this person's nervous to confront a person that freaks out.
Right.
Freaking out's on them.
Right.
And like, it sucks to watch somebody you love like freak out and not handle something well. But like, it's okay.
Right.
It's just like, if you just let them freak out. Like, it's totally. Not, it's actually okay if someone freaks out. It's yeah. not like, what did you, you know?
And that's
like,
where the strength of our own clarity comes in, is you can yeah. stay grounded in yourself because you confronted yourself with it first. So you can be grounded in, I already know what this is. I know what I want from this. I know what I would like to see happen from communicating this. But either way, if this person freaks out, if that's this context, then you can let them freak out and you can sit there grounded in your clarity of what you confronted yourself about first. Word. And not let that be projected onto you because you already come in with your clarity. You can say, okay, this person isn't listening to me, isn't understanding me, isn't receiving me, isn't giving me the respect that I want and I'm communicating, but I'm clear.
Oh God, I wish you were my coach before I talked to my parents last. how do I show up for myself, not just others? I'm aware it's a thing. Changing it is another thing.
Ooh. How do I
show I mean, up? And again, this is vague because it's like, you know,
I know
what ways are you not showing up for yourself? But yeah, it's like, totally. It's just getting grounded with yourself and going like,
wait, she said, say it again.
How to show up for myself, not just others.
Oh, not just emoji. Others.
I'm aware it's a thing. Changing it is another thing. So maybe this person's showing up for other people to avoid showing up for themselves. That's a thing that people can do.
Yeah, I have one of the perspective dances that I've done is people pleasing is an excuse for self-abandonment.
Ew, fuck you. Oh, it's so true.
Don't tell.
I love that. It's great. Just shoot me in the heart. No, that's a good one. That's a great one.
And it's like, because
and people pleasing is also a form of manipulating. Well, there's a girl on Instagram that said that, and I'm like, oh, that'll make me not do it. Totally. I don't want to be manipulative.
Well, because that's it's an excuse for self-abandonment, and by saying it that way, it's removing the chance to be manipulative because totally. Then you're taking responsibility. So there's no manipulation. You're just like, that's on me.
Yeah,
I'm abandoning myself. But it's honestly, it's like people pleasing is like your ego. Out of control and saying and trying to be satisfied, like you're projecting satisfying somebody else, but it's like you're actually satisfying yourself thinking you're satisfying somebody. You're satisfying yourself by convincing yourself that you're satisfying somebody else.
Right.
It's like a really convoluted internal satisfaction. Like, yeah. You're being disingenuous to yourself, which circles back to self-abandonment.
Yeah.
So to it, like even this, it's like, shut up. Like, like
shut the fuck like up.
It's like, I don't know how do I give to myself. I'm only giving to others. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, actually, by thinking you're giving to others and doing something for others, you are giving to yourself.
Yeah. You're doing something for you.
For you.
Yeah.
Something in you.
Might be a broken system, but like,
yeah,
that's okay.
Like it's not healthy because you're not in tune with what it is you actually need. But you are giving something to yourself by thinking that you're giving to others and not to yourself. Like, yeah. No.
Yeah. That reminds me of that conversation we had yesterday about like selfishness and selflessness. Like, selfishness is not a bad thing. And everything we do is ultimately for ourselves, even if it's being in love, even if it's doing charity, even if it's doing charity, not telling anybody about it. If doing charity felt like shit, I wouldn't do it. Like, right. if volunteering my time for an organization didn't feel so extremely rewarding to me, I wouldn't do it.
Right. It feels good to you.
Yeah.
To you. I give. So it feels good to me. So I'm going to keep giving. And it's like the whole idea of giving is receiving.
Yeah.
And it's like, but there's nothing wrong with that. That's the thing. It's like, that's what it's like a transformational relationship versus transactional ones, you know? So it's like either way, in both contexts, you're giving it. It's like both the transformational. It's like I forget what's the book. I want to say Who Not How. Who Not How, but I forget the author. Sorry. Transformational relationships versus transactional relationships.
Yeah.
And, transformational ones, it's both parties are giving more than they receive, and both people evolve at a higher, at a more expansive frequency because of it. Versus transactional ones, it's like somebody's giving less, somebody's giving more, there's not equal transformation in it. There's not equal evolution.
Yeah,
it's like the ability. Yeah, so that's kind of it.
Yeah. Who Not How, the formula to achieve bigger goals through accelerating teamwork by Dan Sullivan, founder of the Strategic Coach, which with Dr. Benjamin Hardy.
That's right.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah, it's a good one.
Super good. But I forget where we were.
Well, the question, how do I show up for myself and not just others? I think that was the one. Staying at a job for the money, but feeling like you're losing your soul. Get the fuck rid of that job.
Quit.
Yeah. quit.
I love telling people congratulations.
If you can have a plan, cool, but like.
You don't need a plan. Yeah. You don't need a plan.
And you're living proof of that, honestly.
Yeah, you don't need a plan.
And everybody will go, that's reckless. But like, you know when you're being reckless and when you're being trusting.
Right. There's a big difference. I really like that.
Yeah.
Like the difference between like recklessness and trusting, because it's like there's underlying strategy with trust, I think. And when we're making decisions in our own best interest, I say, like, I made up a word for this. It's riskidence. It's essentially like saying that it's like, it's having confidence within oneself in uncertainty.
Yeah.
There's no risk because the uncertainty is reliant on trust within yourself. And if you're doing something that's in your own best interest, you're not going to be screwed over.
Right, right. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, we talked for like one more. Let me see. Breaking up with someone. I don't know what joy is. My boyfriend just cheated on me. Oh, this is interesting. My boyfriend just cheated on me with phone sex. Do I take him back? I say, fuck no.
Was he getting paid?
Contact. No, I don't think. No, he was paying, I'm assuming.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't like, I was having like, a side hustle. That's very sweet.
Yeah. Optimism.
I would say, okay. We're not, if it's it, no.
Because there's also probably just so much more there. Like, there's so much context beyond that.
I know. Do you trust each other? How did this happen? Was there rifts in the relationship?
And if it was phone sex, too, like, this person.
That's different.
It's more just, like, why were they were talking. Like, they didn't just suddenly call each other. It's like if you're out at night.
Here?
And, like, somebody, like, this is not okay. But it's, like, if somebody's out and, like, partying and they drink and, like, the comment. Like, I feel like this is, like, a common, like, I was drunk. It's, like, that's, first of all, not an excuse. But.
And that could have been, maybe he didn't pay for it. He could have just met somebody at a bar. Like, so that's contextually very important.
But paying might be better.
Like less of a deal breaker.
Right. Cause like, perhaps. That, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I don't
it
know.
It comes down to their communication.
Yeah,
guys, I don't know. Be more specific.
let's see if there's any more. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Let me make sure. I took multiple screenshots of these and some of them are just. Okay. Tim or Michael, do you need any advice with anything in your life? Do you have an area of your life that you need a perspective change on?
Please.
We have 6 minutes.
If I knew to prepare, maybe I would have brought something.
All right. Okay. Tim, do you need a perspective change on anything?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Good for you.
We're just trucking along.
Yeah, that's y'all's skincare.
Yeah.
Y'all are glowing. Y'all be glowing. This was great, Jordan. Thank you again for your time. And let's remind everybody where you can find you have a Substack that is absolutely incredible that I highly recommend going to and subscribing to. Your Instagram handle is Planet.
So everything is Planet Butter with an I in Planet. And Self-Friendship Podcast.
And you can get links to all that, like link in your Instagram.
Everything's
bio
in my bio. I have a link tree. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to hear
Instagram,
more of her philosophizing, which I highly recommend, and in the written form, you're such a great writer.
Yay.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you
Thanks
for
having me. This is so fun.
This has been The Voices in Our Heads. Thanks for not killing yourself. Really appreciate it. And also, if you like the podcast, rate and review us on iTunes. It's free. And I never ask you to do it. And I forget. But now I remember. So do it. Love you. Talk to you next week.
Bye.